ladies and gentlemen, welcome to For Geek's Sake. My name is Al Sterling, back in the studio today. Have to tell you, just right out the gate, love the way the layer's coming along.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That purple and black is working for you.
Dude, I love the purple and black motif, although I gave up on the wallpapering.
Yeah?
Went with texturing the walls.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, wallpaper's a little outdated for a layer.
I think you can do an accent. And that's right. That was kind of one of the things I was looking at, too. But I also was going with, I mean, at first I was going to do the cave thing, and I thought, no.
No, the cave is very outdated.
Exactly.
Everyone does the cave.
And you don't want to be, like, mistaken for a superhero.
Exactly. I'm going for more, I'd like to do the villain chic kind of thing, you know, the little.
Ooh, yeah.
A little more like on that end. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in the studio today with producer Dan.
Hey, everybody.
And my sincere co-host, Danielle.
Hello, everyone.
You don't like sincere?
No, I do. Why does producer Dan just get to be producer Dan, and I have to have like this weird like?
Well, his adjective is producer, even though producer's
a not noun. An adjective.
Yeah, it's not.
He's the producer-y. No, wait.
Every now and then, I get an adjective.
Usually, it's a four-letter.
Is it just because you were tired of saying your lovely co-host?
I did. I feel like we're not empowering you enough.
Oh, okay.
I actually care, believe it or not.
And so sincere is how you empower me?
Well, I could go with some of the other adjectives I have for you if you'd rather.
You didn't like those. That's why you started switching it up.
I'm just so accurate. You are sincere.
Yeah. I hope I am.
I think you're sincere.
I feel like sincere is a perception-based adjective.
Okay. I mean, is that a problem? Are we not
allowed to? No, it is. No, it's totally allowed. I'm just saying, like, I can't control how sincere, like, I come across as.
Yes, but you can control how sincere you are.
I can hear the skip forward 15 second buttons being pressed.
We might as well be doing advertisements at this point. Anyway, all right. We've got an interesting show for you guys today. Danielle has been asking for a long time for us to spend a little bit of time talking about the different time streamy, timey-wimey,
multiversey and less timey-wimey.
That's true.
Sure.
So we're gonna spend some time this week talking about that and looking at some examples and checking in on some of our favorite multiverse/time-travel-y-based shows and products and things. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be our main topic. But we've got some This Week in Geek first.
Here we go.
The new Iron Fist trailer has dropped.
It's Netflix.
It's our first real trailer for Iron Fist. Now, to set the stage a little bit, Iron Fist is the final defender. So your defenders here are going to be the four main series that you've seen drop. Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke
Cage.
Sweet Christmas. Oh. And Iron Fist.
Okay.
So Iron Fist is a martial arts master.
Yep.
And magical fists.
I don't know anything about this. Him or his series, and I didn't know anything further from watching the trailer, so that's my opinion.
I think he's probably the most arrow-like character.
Yeah.
Except there's a difference between a fist and a bow and arrow.
True.
That's true. Good call.
Yeah.
I mean,
good catch.
Weapon of choice is different.
So do you want to do a little table setting for us for Iron Fist, or you want to give people a quick?
Sure.
I feel like you're going to do better than I am.
So, Danny Rand was a young teenage lad from a very rich family who owns Rand Industries in New York. And they were going on vacation to Asia somewhere, and their plane crashed. Yeah, just Asia. Their plane crashed in the Himalayas, and he was the only survivor, and he ended up in a hidden city that only appears every 10 years or so. So the show is going to be starting 10 years later when he is returning to New York from the Hidden City. Oh. And while in the Hidden City, he became a martial arts master and learned to channel his chi into the power of the Iron Fist, which makes his hands glow and punch really hard.
So I don't know if you guys noticed this, but that sounds a lot like the Green Arrow.
Really? Huh. I wonder if anybody else has ever made that comparison.
I can't imagine so.
If they did, they were geniuses.
You know, just real quick, jump into the Green Arrow. I know neither of you watch it, but I do. Well, I have been
actually the show is called
up on it.
I watched it enough to know that the show is actually called Arrow.
Right, right.
But not the
right,
not Green.
Right,
Arrow.
Right, but that's because he's Arrow until season three, and then they change him to the Green Arrow. So, anyways, but my point is
they fixed that, huh?
They yes. did.
That's cool.
Yeah, if you guys watched, you would know.
Whoa, time out. I'll tell you what.
Not
when
enough.
When he grows the awesome goatee.
Actually, I lied. Wait, time out. Season four.
When he grows the awesome goatee.
He has a goatee.
No.
No, he does
when
not
When he grows
have the, goatee.
The awesome goatee.
Oh, okay.
Then I'm back in.
Well, anyways. No, now he's the Green Arrow. Anyways. So, like, he was on the island for, like, 5 years. And so every year they're, like, telling the story in current times and flashbacks. But, like, every season it's mm-hmm. advancing. Mm-hmm. The same timeline. So, like, now it's, like, year four on the island. Well, technically he wasn't on the island for all 5 years. But anyways, like, after they pass year five, mm-hmm. like, what? How are they going to tell flashbacks? I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe they need to stop relying on that trope, which is one of the reasons I hate that show.
The thing I got about the island is apparently, and I didn't realize this, for being a deserted island, it was awfully crowded. That yeah. was one of my big...
So, but he
a lot
didn't
of ninjas
see,
on that deserted island.
He didn't see everyone on the on that.
Well, no,
island.
I haven't seen everybody in Central Florida, and I've been here for years.
I'm just no. I mean, like everyone that he saw while he was gone, it wasn't always there. Sometimes it was like in Hong Kong. One time, he actually came back to Star City. Which one is which? Star City.
Star City.
Well, no, Starling City, which then they changed to Star City.
Is this-
Mm-hmm.
So Iron Fist.
Yeah.
New York City.
Right. The real yeah. one. The real city. So,
so he turns into a martial arts master and his fist right. blows.
And the big thing that a lot of people were hoping when they announced this series was that they would kind of, instead of making it the rich white guy goes to Asia and becomes better at martial arts than the Asian people and then comes back with magical powers. People were hoping that maybe they would make it so that it was an Asian kid.
Mm.
They didn't.
No, but they didn't.
But why would they do that if everyone is so up in arms about them, like, changing? It's so funny, right? Because everyone's, like, all up in arms, like, oh, no, Hermione's black. Or, oh, no, they might have a black girl play Mary Jane. But I know. Let's have an Asian guy play a white guy.
Right.
Like, you know
Which
what
Which is
saying?
Why a lot of, I mean, fans of the character didn't want that.
Okay.
But a lot of people.
Into martial arts, probably.
Sure.
Well, and I
or just looking from the outside in.
I don't mind. They can leave Danny Rand as the, you know, I don't think you're
Well, and he addressed that criticism this week by saying, you know, just watch the show first. You'll see what we've done and then you can judge.
Right. And it doesn't always work. I mean, I wouldn't have been upset if they'd gone that route with it. I don't think that's going to really make or break anything one way or the other.
But in the comic books his hand wouldn't just light up yellow. There would be like an actual dragon force around his hand and he would punch people and we were worried about how they were going to pull that off without it looking cartoony and stupid.
Like in Kung Fu Panda in the third one when he actually is like the dragon and he's like riding along in the belly of a dragon. Like cartoony like that.
Just like that.
That's
exactly
same thing.
I actually
thing.
Just watched Kung Fu Panda thanks to Hurricane Matthew and my niece and nephew.
Yeah,
so.
I didn't. I haven't yet.
But we had some little peaks and little cookies in Luke Cage that kind of yeah. lead us to Iron Fist. So I'm really excited about it. I think it looks fantastic from what we've seen so far.
The best part for me is going to be when they finally get to the Heroes for Hire.
Yeah.
Because Luke Cage and Danny Rand.
I hope they do that.
They've got to. They're setting it up. And I won't use any Luke Cage spoilers here.
I don't know what that is. What's Heroes for Hire?
They're basically like small-time heroes that you can hire to go help you with things. Like, if you ever looked around and thought, man, you know what would really be helpful? Not a plumber, but a superhero.
Like a guy that's bulletproof and super strong and another guy with a glowing fist. Like are the things that I could use right now.
Like in real life,
uh-huh.
when would you possibly need those services? When, like, outside of an emergency where you're like, oh my God, this guy's going to kill me. I'd really like a Luke Cage. Like, if
it's
you're
typically
just
an emergency.
Around,
right.
Right. But how do you, like,
birthday parties?
Uh-huh. if you've got a problem and the problem is a super villain of some sort, and the police aren't going to be able to help, you call Heroes for Hire.
Well, slash organized crime, you know,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
They're not their protection racket, and you can't get rid of them.
I don't get involved in a lot of organized crime.
Well, you don't live in Hell's Kitchen. I mean,
or Harlem,
or anyone
whatever.
Else in New York City.
Although did you ever see Burn Notice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
like you have problems that just the police can't solve. The A-Team. I mean, this has been a trope for a very long time.
Yeah, it's not new. Scorpion.
Knight Rider.
MacGyver.
Most 80s shows, really. Most 80s shows.
I was going to say, Burn Notice is kind of like the spy thriller of MacGyver.
I really enjoyed Burn Notice. Anyway, that's important. So, yes, Iron Fist trailer looks really good. Really looking forward to seeing that one. I want to see him hug a dragon. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah.
A real dragon?
No, a stuffed one. Like I want him to win one at a fair using his martial arts. And then give that dragon a big old hug.
I want a cuddly dragon.
And scene.
They have announced basically that the hand from Daredevil will be involved in this. And
makes sense.
What's the Asian lady?
Madame Gao.
Yes, Madame Gao will definitely be in this.
Will Rosario Dawson, since she's in everything?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let's just put it that way.
Of course she will. Yes, of course she
will.
And
if you watch Luke Cage, they explain how.
Okay.
Yep.
How it ties in.
There was like three times without again giving any spoilers where she says to Luke Cage, I know a really good lawyer.
Right.
And I'm like, call him. Dear God, how would you
please,
not?
Please.
Like, why would you just call him anyway? Why would you not look around and think, you know what? I'm going to give my
season
friend
season two.
I know,
but she says that in Jessica Jones too. She says that exact same line. I know a good lawyer.
Yes, yes. And see, but she doesn't in Jessica Jones pick up and call him. And I feel like in Jessica Jones, she'd been better off if she's like, you know what? I'm just going to call him anyway. Yeah. You'll thank me for this later.
Right.
You know, like, I know a guy who can help out with this particular problem. Next up, Power Rangers. That trailer dropped.
That was the thing that happened.
Not excited.
No.
No? Well, how are you feeling? Excited? Yes? No?
I am not excited, but it's not for the reason you think. I think it looks like a very excellent movie. That's the problem.
Okay, so let's stop and come back here. Original Power Rangers, were you guys watching that?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Okay, so I think we're getting towards Dan's issue here, so let me resolve Dan's real quick.
No. That's not my issue.
Okay.
Because I can go into just about anything with fresh eyes and just say, okay, let me see if I can enjoy this.
Uh-huh.
The first half of this preview, it was The Breakfast Club.
Right.
Right.
And then it takes this really weird turn, and just I just think that it looks horrible.
Wow, what looks so horrible about it?
Every single thing.
Okay,
like I was cringing the entire time that I was watching the preview.
Okay, so let's Dan's anti Power Rangers at this
right.
point. Okay,
yeah.
Where are you at there with it?
So the problem is that it looks like a very well made high budget film. It looks like it could be awesome, like on a Michael Bay scale, like with action. Power Rangers was cheesy AF. Like
AF.
Mm-hmm. That, like, it was like Godzilla cheesy, awful, awful. And awesome at the same time. Like awesome because it was awful. So this, them trying to make it look like all serious and crap, like no good.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So you weren't going to be happy unless they had those guys like because every episode of that was the exact same thing.
No, I understand, but I
it was a lot of waving hands while talking because you couldn't see mouths. I remember that.
Right, well, it's because I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but it was only half American television.
Right,
right.
Everything
and the costume.
Yeah.
Right, right. So the problem here is that they shouldn't have made it to begin with.
Ah, okay.
Agreed.
Okay, so you guys are going from that route. See, here's the issue, though.
Hold on. Just one more comment. Sometimes nostalgia is okay to be nostalgia. You don't have to make it current. You don't have to bring it into the new era. And that's what they're trying to do here. And I don't like it. Okay, I'm sorry.
Part of me thinks that we may be a little old for Power Rangers. I think that was...
yeah.
I mean, no. I mean, even when Power Rangers originally dropped, we were a little too old.
Right. That's why I didn't watch it.
Right, right. Now,
and I still watched it.
Now, Dan Cage, frequent guest Dan Cage, was of an age where Power Rangers was. He was, you know, he's about He's about 4 or 5 years younger than us, and he was kind of right around there. And so he was a huge fan of Power Rangers growing up, and he is a huge fan of this.
Yeah.
And I think we may be able to draw some pretty straight lines between those things. Here's my thing.
But this didn't look at all true to the original.
At all.
Because the original would not make a good movie.
So what's the point?
So what's exactly? That's my point.
It's a reimagining of the same basic idea. They just reimagined and updated. It's the same thing. I guess this is what I'm confused. This has been the same thing they've done with literally everything else. Do you think the Transformer movies had anything to do with the cartoons? Like
I didn't like.
Bad choice.
Transformers
I didn't like,
wasn't really my bag.
The first one?
The first one was decent.
It was okay.
That's all I'm saying.
But if okay is the bar, then maybe we should be doing something different.
We'll back up and say, yes, obviously, Hollywood should be doing something very different than what it does 90%
like
of the
maybe
time.
Think of new stuff.
But if we're going to continue to trade on nostalgia, I guess I didn't have that much of an issue with the way that the Power Rangers. I mean, their origin story isn't exactly this sacrosanct. You know what I mean? This isn't Batman's origin. You know what I mean? This is
right.
They were like, hey, we have these five ethnically diverse friends who all were just friends for no reason at all, with no real commonality between them
at all. Because one's a loser, one's a jock, one's just like Breakfast Club.
Exactly. So why take a Breakfast Club? It's a martial arts theme at its base.
Right.
So why couldn't they have met at a dojo where they were all taking karate lessons?
None of them had, I think, though, like the Red Ranger, Jason, the original Red Ranger, was the only one who actually, I think, knew martial arts before.
Here's a better idea.
But if you're trying to remake it and make it better, then why not do that?
If they wanted to make a what's the word, like group?
It made me just want a remake of The Breakfast Club more than anything.
If they wanted to make a group film that was nostalgic, why not pick Captain Planet? That would have been a much better story.
Oh, God. No, it wouldn't.
That's a stretch.
With your powers and mine?
Combined.
Yes.
Yeah,
your powers
whatever.
Combined.
No, I'm Captain Planet.
No. You know what? I'm going to channel a little Dan here real quick. Okay?
Because he's screaming in his car right now.
No, he stopped listening.
Oh, okay. Well, that's right. He doesn't listen anymore.
No. That's not fair. But you can't have this both ways. They don't. If you want to be true to their origin story, then they didn't know martial arts before they became Power Rangers. The power that came with becoming a ranger is where they got their martial arts abilities. So it doesn't make sense for them to meet at a dojo or something.
Fair point.
They have to learn when they get there.
I concede.
However, you have. I mean, the first episode of Power Rangers has no origin. They were teenagers with attitude, and that was the extent of the qualifications. So they just looked for a group of five quasi-ethnically diverse teenagers and just zapped them and said, here, have some cool outfits and some giant destruction. Like, it wasn't a really well-thought-out deal. So they're trying to flesh this out. They're trying to make it an actual story rather than just something to fill the time before we get to the part that we've imported from Japan. So I think – and I guess I kind of liked it. I am also really excited now to actually look at this. Here's what I was concerned by.
They never showed them in their power suits in the trailer.
We got pictures of them in their suits before, actually.
Right, but in the trailer, they don't show them.
No, at the very end, they show them start to. They show the thing, and it looks...
Because we know how great CGI costumes have gone for in the past.
So here's my thing, though. I was concerned they were going to do the thing with the, like... The Black Ranger's the black guy. The Yellow Ranger's the Asian girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Pink Ranger's the white girl.
And the Red Ranger actually was an American Indian.
Nice.
And then the Blue Ranger was like, I don't know, nerd. Like, I was just like...
No, he was the white guy.
He was also the white guy. But, I mean, he was like, whatever. So this one, although, and I was looking at this picture, it looks like they did put the black guy as the Blue Ranger, which was a nice, I guess, change of pace. Mm-hmm. Although he's probably still nerdy. But it does look like the vaguely Asian girl is still in the Yellow Ranger suit. The standard issue white girl appears to be the Pink Ranger. We'll kind of see how it goes. If that Red Ranger's American Indian, holy crap. Zordon's still racist. That's what that means. That's what that... all right. Speaking of nostalgia...
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so wait, what we're talking about here is Fraggle Rock... HBO, after having swallowed Sesame Street and turned it into a hard, gritty reality show. That's not true.
No.
Apparently also snagged Fraggle Rock and just bought Jim Henson.
So. Well, Triangle Rock was on HBO to begin with, wasn't it? Back in the day?
Was it?
Pretty sure.
Check, Keyboard Jockey.
Yes.
Pretty sure.
Which originally ran on...
You can fact check me.
It says HBO will begin re-airing the beloved children's series, which originally ran on the premium cable network from 1983 to 1987 across all of their platforms. I am so excited about this.
Yeah. Now, I, being a huge fan of all things Muppets, I'm completely...
Yeah, we're big Henson fans in my household. And let me tell you how excited I am to introduce this to the niece and nephew and eventually my children, because it will be on HBO.
All right. No, when was that premiering?
November.
Awesome. My kid's three.
Is one of the Fraggles going to be hosting a late night show and have a lot of sexual innuendo with one of the other Fraggles?
No, they're just remastering it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there's no new
stuff. They're not redoing it. They're just re-airing.
That was honestly my concern, was are we going to have another situation like the Muppets did?
The Muppets. All right.
Oh, this doesn't actually say that.
All right.
Al's wiping away tears as we get ready to talk about
this.
This doesn't
say when it's going to happen, but what they're doing is they're putting all 96 episodes back on the air.
Oh, nice.
For streaming. Okay, so you want to get back to the Muppets.
All right.
It was terrible.
It wasn't terrible.
It was pretty bad.
It started out really good.
It wasn't.
No, actually, it started out meh, then got good, and then got weird.
Awkward.
I watched every episode.
I did. I eventually was so sad that I gave up. I missed like the last episode or two. I just couldn't do it. So here's the thing. A couple pieces that we need to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the Muppets have always had innuendos. And
we just don't remember because we were kids.
They go over your head.
And it was a little bit more in your face now.
It was a little more in your face. I thought that the premise of the show was fine. I had no issues with this whole, like, late night piggy show, whatever.
I
like
30 Rock.
Right. I mean, that's fine. Behind that's still coming. The variety show. There's no variety shows on television anymore. So having them doing a reality show just kind of doesn't quite. There's not reality shows in the way that there was when the original Muppet Show came on.
I guess.
You know, like Sonny and Cher are no longer a thing. You know, the closest you're going to get. I mean, the only thing that they could have really done is hosted, like, some kind of singing competition or reality show.
Right.
Which would have been, to me, infinitely worse.
Well, Maya Rudolph had her variety show last year, too.
Yeah, how's it doing this year?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. So that part was all fine. I think the part where it started to get weird was the second you split up Piggy and Kermit.
Yeah.
Like,
which was from the beginning.
Right. That was...
Also, the fact that Fozzie was dating a human woman was a little weird.
Yeah, it was a... Yeah.
The meeting the parents thing.
It was a little Ted 2 for me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple places that were a little... I saw what they were going for, but they never made it.
No.
So.
Which
but
is
this
why
is
they
just
were canceled.
The ones that we know
right.
and
this
love,
is,
and
this
it
is
works.
Already the Fraggle Rock we saw as children. It's just coming back.
So yeah. I can shove my children in front of it, and then they can also be down at Fraggle Rock. Down at Fraggle Rock.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right, this week in Elon managed to sneak his way in here. God, he got that guy. So apparently he got into a little where did the first comment come from? So what happens here is the head of the coal industry, one of the coal mining companies.
It's a private company.
One of the largest coal mining companies called Tesla and their cars a fraud because they'd failed to turn a profit. Now, where did he say that? That was one part that he didn't see.
Hang on. I'm looking it up.
Okay. It was on Twitter.
No.
No, Elon put it on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
He put the comments on Twitter.
He just said that he said it. He didn't say where.
Okay. I'm assuming it had to be in some kind of online article that Elon was citing here. And so Elon called him out, put it on his Twitter feed, and then called him out, which I got to tell you, man, that's pretty gutsy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, let me read the actual tweet from Elon. Real fraud going on is denial of climate science. As for subsidies, and that's in quotes, subsidies, Tesla gets pennies on dollar versus coal. How about we both go to zero? So he's like, yeah, I'm not making a profit. How about neither of us make a profit and worry more about the environment? Like,
see, now, the environment part, that's a pretty obvious place to go.
Sure.
What I actually thought was much more interesting was like, how about we both go to zero?
Yeah.
That's the part where I feel like he's like, oh, yeah?
Watch.
Yeah, bitch. Exactly. Like, I'm a billionaire with a B. Come here.
I'm a billionaire with rockets.
Exactly. Exactly. I could literally land a rocket on top of your building.
I don't think Elon meant that, you guys. Just be careful.
What do you mean?
Like, don't say that Elon's, like, threatening people with rockets.
No. No, he has... And he has rockets, not missiles. I think right. There's a difference. Rockets, space, and missiles, boom. You know, I mean, rockets can also go boom, as Elon can no doubt tell you.
Right.
And that was unfortunate for him. But I thought that part was the kind of part where he's like, hey, by the way, sup.
Don't forget.
Yeah, just keep the shit in respect. I just got to suck to get dust. And the coal guy, whatever, what was his name? What's the coal guy's name?
Doesn't say.
Yes, it does. It says it towards the top here. It doesn't matter. Point is, he didn't have nothing. I was waiting for him to come back. I really wanted to get a little Twitter spat, but no such luck. We'll have to.
Oh, Robert Murray.
There we go. Murray.
Murray Energy Corp. CEO, Robert Murray.
Bleh. You know, that was one of the things where he posted that and thought that, or he said that or whatever, and didn't think Elon would ever see it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's like when
But Elon obviously has this pulse because he's always in the news.
Right.
Because he always wants to be on This Week in
News. Oh, you know, he's got his Google alerts.
He does. He does. And he's like, I'm sorry, what? That's got to suck you. You know, he saw the comeback. Let's pretend that didn't happen to move on, please. Speaking of moving on, all right, let's get into our main topic here. Okay. So. We've got a couple different things that we're kind of looping together here, and these things were found. We're on our main topic, by the way. I don't know if I said that part.
Yeah,
we're on our main topic.
Okay,
now, guys.
So there are
everyone listening. Main topic.
Wait, I'm telling you, we need jingles.
We do. Actually, I want to really, you know what it is? I'm going to get jingles that have nothing to do with the show. We're just going to play like the By Men, and that's going to be how we go into our no. It's like Hot Pocket. I'm just going to do an entire Jim Gaffigan bit. That's really my entire plan.
Jim Gaffigan.
He's the man.
No, I know. I was doing a Jim Gaffigan last night at dinner, and Chris and I could not remember for the life of us who it was. And we're like, who am I doing? I can't remember. Okay. And then,
Nope. Gonna,
I just, nope. Like, that's
okay,
so funny.
So in different forms of media, whether we're talking about comic books, we're talking about movies, we're talking about television, whatever, all of these books. Anytime you get in any kind of time travel or multiverse or whatever else, it's going to be operating on one of a couple different approaches. Mm-hmm. So, and I know we talked about some time travel stuff in the past, but here we're not trying to rank anything. We're just trying to give kind of put some context around these things so that they make a bit more sense. Mm-hmm. So, where do you want to start? You want to start with I say,
what questions do you have, Danielle?
Okay, so.
Because this was your idea.
Fine. I guess we can go that route.
I know.
So,
crazy.
Okay, so I have two very recent examples that mm-hmm. I've been, one is reading and one is watching. The Flash, obviously. Uh-huh. And then the other one is the book series that I plugged a few weeks ago, the Causal Enchantment series. So, and if anyone is reading it, I apologize. This might be a spoiler. But anyways, so it's actually not really that big of a spoiler. But anyways, so they find out that there's like multiple universes, like a lot of them. And like someone even goes and visits like these four fates that mm-hmm. like control the universes. And so that's kind of confusing.
Okay.
Because like each little marble is like a world. And I don't get that.
Okay.
Like, I don't get it. And then with the Earth 2, okay, so like I'm halfway through Flash Season 2.
Okay.
So.
Minor spoiler
if you're, yeah. Right. If you're not caught up on Flash. So there's this existence of this planet called Earth 2, but it's in a different universe. And like I get confused because like they have doppelgangers and like. But, like, the Arrow in the other universe is his father. It's not him. He died in the boat crash. His father didn't. And, like, the, you know, I don't understand.
Okay.
So, let's start with alternate timelines. Because that's really the best starting point here. Because with an alternate timeline that you know... Let's go with Back to the Future 2.
Right.
It was one little decision by Biff to steal the
almanac
and go back in time and give it to his younger self. Changed the fate of that entire city.
Right.
Not so much the world, but that city.
Right. Well, we don't know what impact it had on the world.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. But yes, butterfly effect. Right.
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 So going back and fixing that ended up, you know, fixing everything. Everybody's happy.
Right.
So that's like a very small scale version of the multiverse, because a multiverse is every single decision that every single person makes every single day could change things.
Yeah, but I don't know if we would. I don't know if we're going to call that multiverse, though.
Well, I mean, that would be just basic alternate realities, is that every time that you make a decision, you're creating that decision creates two different timelines.
Right, and I get
you
that.
You could go left or you could go right.
I get but that back with timelines.
I'm
not talking Back to the Future anymore.
No. So let's take The Flash, because that happens to be the reason why I thought of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So in The Flash, you have two separate things. You have the separate timelines, and you also have a separate universe.
Right.
That's where I get confused. Like, I get that when The Flash goes back, minor spoiler, when The Flash goes back, his future self says, no, don't save your mom, you know, blah, 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 that the timeline wasn't altered. Like, I get that point.
Mm-hmm.
But what I, and, you know, when he goes and, what is it, when he ghosts, like, he's done it twice now that since I've been watching. Like, right. I get that resets it from the time that he saw his self. Like, that's when it resets. I get that part. What I don't get is how there can be a concurrent universe with all of the same people that have supposedly all of the same motivations, all of the same personalities, but like completely different lives. Like Harrison Wells, it has a daughter or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that's, I don't understand that.
So you're coming back. I'm actually going to zoom out and get a little bit more basic here as to like, and we're getting a little bit of like sci-fi that starts to get a little bit closer to the science and the fiction. But part of it comes when we're talking about how do these all of these different things exist side by side, comes back to this idea that every decision we make splinters off. So if you imagine it like a road. So you know, if you're driving down a straight road, no turns, no nothing else, you make a decision, and now that road becomes two roads. And then you have one with one version of you on each of those two roads. You make another decision, and one of those roads now becomes two roads. So now you have three roads total. And then when somebody else makes the decision, then your other self makes another decision. Now that three roads, and you kind of keep splintering off into infinity because you have infinite number of people making infinite number of decisions, causing an infinite number of realities. So that then says that all of those things are all traveling together at the same time. So it's the same. It is still October. What's today? It's still October 11th in every single one of those universes, those infinite number of universes. But in each universe, things are going to be a little different. So if we were to jump to one universe, we may not even be able to tell the difference. You know, we may still be in another universe. It could easily be the three of us sitting here recording the show at the exact same time with the exact same topic. If we go to a different one where things went completely different, there is no Central Florida because the whole thing got nuked in World War II.
So are multiple universes created by the splintering of the timelines?
Yes. Across everybody making a decision causes the timeline to change. It causes a new timeline to appear.
And that timeline is in itself a universe.
Right.
So technically when you're like, this is, but okay. So let's say that that's the case, but then how.
Now that's the Earth. Then that's the Earth 2 thing is what I want to come back to that Earth. That's where the Flash is Earth 2. And as it shows up in the show, is just another world where things happen, where different things happen. And it causes things to develop in a different way.
Yes and no. That's not an alternate timeline. That's an alternate universe.
Yes.
Alternate timelines are created by small decisions made by everybody all the time.
Right.
Alternate universes in, say, the DC's 52 multiverse, it's major issues that change those and separate them out. Like there's one where the Nazis won, and that changes everything worldwide. That's a huge difference. Whereas like Flashpoint, it's one change, right? But it's one change that sets off a chain reaction and makes several things different. But it's essentially the same world. It's just that things are different. But in the multiverse, you could go to a world where the car was never invented.
Okay, so...
And people are riding on horseback.
So let's pretend that I have a TARDIS or a DeLorean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I exist in a world where there are multiple universes and multiple timelines.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm time traveling, mm-hmm. am I technically traveling to other universes then? That's where I get confused.
No. Typically, if you're time traveling, you're time traveling across one single road.
But right, but if I, let's say I'm on this road and I go back 60 miles and instead of going straight, this time I turn right, have I now created a new?
You've not only created a new one, you've destroyed the original.
Right.
So it's not, so again, that's not creating a new universe.
Right.
So, okay, so the flat.
I know, this part's getting towards a little wonky here. This is why, and this is why. So when we're talking about the TARDIS, we're, the TARDIS, Let's set the TARDIS aside for a little bit because the TARDIS
is a DeLorean.
Let's stick with the DeLorean, okay?
The TARDIS doesn't go to other universes, does he?
No, but you've got – the TARDIS is a little bit more of a funky example.
Time and relative dimension in space.
Right.
Right.
So
it could switch between different dimensions, a.k.a. different universes.
So, okay. But it doesn't usually do that, but it can. That's why the TARDIS isn't a great example. The DeLorean, however, is a really good example, or timeless. If anybody's watching the new show on NBC, you go back and you do something – you kill Hitler, you know, your parents don't meet or whatever, you go back and suddenly everything's different.
Right. You're creating paradoxes.
Right. Or you're screwed. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Exactly.
Right.
Same thing.
Okay.
You're going back and you're screwing with the timeline. Now, on those shows, on any of those types of media, we are assuming that time is a singular linear track. And that when you go back and change something, as far as the stories are concerned, when they're doing that, they are very, very rarely talking about alternate universes and alternate timelines. They're talking about one single timeline that they keep screwing with. So that's where things get a little confusing because on those, are there other universes and timelines? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But they're not, they can't access any of those or they don't see any of those.
That's what makes the Flash different because he travels between universes and between time,
which is why I think I get so confused.
Right.
Okay, so let's bring up another one that maybe it's not necessarily a universe but a dimension, so I'm throwing another dimension in here.
Do it.
Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Spoilers, which, you know, whatever.
No. Yeah, you're fine.
They go to the Upside Down, which mm-hmm. we think is another dimension.
Okay. Based solely, and I think we can do this without really a whole lot of Stranger Things spoilers here.
Yes, they are
considering going that. They consider that another dimension.
So, what's the difference between that and another universe?
Very little. You could almost use those two interchangeably. Usually, a universe is a little bit more fully formed. We haven't seen enough.
They haven't really given us enough information about what the Upside Down exactly is yet.
Right.
Okay.
So, but you can see alternate dimensions are, you can see it, but the Ninja Turtles go to Dimension X. I mean,
right.
You can see a bunch of stuff where basically they just go to this place where everything is completely different, and we call that a different dimension.
I guess this is the question, like this is, and I know I keep bringing it back to The Flash, and I'm sorry, it's just very topical for me.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, The Flash is a great example, too, because The Flash does manage to cram all of these things into one.
Into one, right. Mm-hmm. So I guess the confusion for me is like, okay, let's go back to that book series that I was talking about, The Causal Enchantments. Mm-hmm. So in The Causal Enchantments, the universe that she's in now, there are, you guys are going to think this is stupid, but whatever.
That's
but
fine.
Anyways, there's like, vampires, werewolves, etc. So she's traveling. She's traveling to this other world, this other universe, and all they have is vampires because this war broke out, and basically there's no humans left. So for like the last like 300 years, they've existed on like animals and stuff. There's no humans. So on her world, her universe, the venom to change people isn't working. Their venom is working. Their venom here isn't working. So anyways, basically they're orchestrating vampires from the other universe to come to this universe. But it's not like a doppelganger situation. But everything that did happen on that world is starting to happen now in this world. The war, you know, basically things that happened 300 years ago are now happening on this world. And like, I think like, Like, and in that one, when they go to the Fates and there's, like, all of these marbles with all of these worlds, like, there are some that don't even have anything on it, like, no people or anything. You know, maybe there's other creatures and other ones, you know, non-humans, whatever. But, like, it's not, like, I guess I get confused with the doppelganger situation. Like, I get confused that this other world has basically exact replicas of every person on this world.
So that is going to come down to the rules that they set up for that individual story. Classic stuff says, and as a matter of fact, they even make fun of it in the new Star Trek movie, and that when they rebooted the Star Trek movie, you'll remember that when Kirk runs into Leonard Nimoy Spock, the old Spock,
right,
and the old Spock tells him that you can't tell the new Spock about this, it'll destroy the timeline. That's a very standard trope in any kind of those kind of any of that kind of stuff. Because remember, the old Spock came
but
from
that's timeline, that's not universe.
Well, sort of. At that point, they're kind of this got a little more challenging than I thought it was going to be. It's kind
He was like, "I got this, guys." I
was feeling
this.
Pretty good about it, but
yeah.
But I'm messing you up.
No, well, the thing.
Well, it is a very confusing.
Like, do they always do? Okay, do multiple universes and multiple timelines always go hand in hand?
No, what you usually see, and it's most complicated. What you normally will see is something like the Flash, which basically runs off of that one timeline,
which is the one we're watching.
But wait, hang on, wait for it here, because they go back and they change stuff in that. If they go back and change stuff, it affects the future.
Right,
it affects their world.
And he's done it twice so far.
Right, so you've got a bit of that. You got that, but then you've got the multiple universes.
Right.
So you've got like, so you don't have that fragment where there's infinite number one. Sliders.
Yep.
Sliders, do you remember the show?
I remember the show, but I didn't watch it. It was Jerry O'Connell, wasn't it?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
And Sliders, they...
They're sliding in and out of dimensions and universes? Yeah. Or?
Yes, but what they're doing there is a little bit closer to the...
Multiverse.
To the multiverse here, where you've just got a bunch of different versions of the same world.
Or was it more like Quantum Leap, where he's just leaping in time?
No, they were definitely going in between different universes.
Okay.
Yeah, Sliders was.
Yeah.
Quantum Leap was, again, on that one straight tree trunk, not all the little branches that kind of come off
and
of
only
it.
Within his lifetime.
Right, except for that one time. Yeah. Such a good show. Hmm. I'm so cosplaying as Al.
Nice.
I'm so cosplaying as Al. Just got to find somebody.
It's all in your closet.
Ziggy says, I'm so, I can't even get it.
Okay, anyway.
Sorry. So Flash has got the multiple universes here. Again, think of it like marbles. If you want to think of them with the marble thing, makes it good. So each marble is its own little world there. But each of those worlds, in order to keep things from getting too confusing, usually creators will have one solid timeline for each of those individual marbles. Mm-hmm. Is that making sense there?
Yeah.
So that you've only got – because if you can do multiple – you can do like a million versions of this – which is actually one of the things I think actually – may exist when we get into theoretical physics. Mm-hmm. You get there's a belief that we are one of an infinite number of universes. So that there is an actuality. There's a lot of scientists who actually believe that there is, you know, an infinite number of versions of us sitting here recording the show. That's one thing, but that's not typically what you're going to see in pop culture.
Right.
In pop culture, they're going to either do that, although that get kind of boring because if there's an infinite number, there's probably 5 trillion of them where it's just us sitting here. So you're going to jump to another one and be like, oh, no, this one looks exactly the same as the other ones, guys. All right, let's going to leave that alone. So what they'll typically do then is they'll say, okay, well, we're just going to leave the one timeline here and we'll screw with that timeline. And then if we want to jump to Earth 2, that's a whole different planet. It's a whole different universe, a whole different – that's a different dimension or different universe depending upon how they want to do that. And so they'll do the big changes. So in this one, the Nazis won, as Benoit was talking about. And in this one, it's, you know, this major change. Everybody's underwater now. You know, like this one's our ice world. And
dinosaurs never went extinct.
So
it might be.
They'll do those as different marbles, different universes, but each with one with its own timeline.
Okay.
I don't feel like we've made this any better for you.
What do you – like when you guys are talking about, oh, the multiverse, do you mean like, oh, there's multiple universes?
Yes.
Yes.
With DC, they've always followed a very clear multiverse. They've always had – this well-defined that there are multiple different universes so that they can tell different Superman stories. Because they've been telling Superman stories for so freaking long. And they've got so many fans that they've got so many different comic books that they put out every week that the easy way to say it is, well, that one was on Earth 1, this was on Earth 5, you know, and that explains why there's different things happening in different story arcs. Does that make sense?
Time out. Mm-hmm. So, Superman, example. Mm-hmm. If Superman number 1 is on Earth 1.
Yes.
And Superman number 5 is on Earth number 5.
Yes.
Is Krypton in all of those?
Yes.
Is it a different Krypton?
It can be. I mean, it's
is sure. Is it Krypton number 1 and Krypton number 5?
Well, if Superman is here, then on both of those Kryptons, Kal-El's parents made the decision to send him to Earth because the planet was going to explode, or there was going to be something else that was going to happen very bad there that was worth sending their child away.
So there
will be those types of similarities.
Is there a Superman that did not come from Krypton?
No.
No.
Okay. So.
But there is a Superman that landed in Russia instead of landing in Kansas.
Okay.
And so instead of life, liberty, and the American way, mm-hmm. he grew up.
Communist.
That's actually a really great story.
Yeah. It's called Red Sun.
Okay.
So Flash is dealing with one timeline for in each of these individuals. So Earth 1, Earth 2, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Each has their own single timeline. So when he goes, so he can go to Earth 2 and jack up that timeline.
Mm-hmm. If he traveled in time in Earth 2,
right.
That wouldn't affect Earth 1.
Right, which I haven't gotten to yet. I know it's happening because I know the titles of the episode, which is right. Going to Earth 2 and returning from Earth 2 or whatever.
Right, right. So, but I mean, just as an example there. And if he jumped to Earth 9, it's not going to affect Earth 1 or 2. So, and as a matter of fact, when the Flash does the crossover with Supergirl, mm-hmm. At that point, wasn't he jumping to a whole different Earth?
He was jumping to, we didn't get a number, but
different Earth like 9 or something random.
That's
like that.
That's what I was going to ask. So Supergirl exists in a different Earth. Mm-hmm. So do they have doppelgangers on her Earth, on her universe?
They haven't shown that in the show.
Well, I don't want to spoil it for you.
Okay, don't spoil it.
But, what? No.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Okay. I'm sorry this is difficult because I'm not caught up on the shows. But
no,
like,
these are really interesting questions.
But we know that they are going to have a crossover with all the other Blantyverse characters. So they might be moving basically that entire world. Like they might be merging worlds or something. We don't know.
So, okay.
Which would make one hell of an episode.
Yeah. So Legends of Tomorrow, which I've also started, is only time travel, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So if... Now, I know that you guys have said that the Flashpoint is coming at the end of the season because you've already discussed that.
Yeah.
You didn't know I was going to be watching, so it was rude, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'll let it go. But anyways, okay.
I will say this. Knowing that the Flashpoint is coming does not tell you a damn thing about what's going to happen.
Right, because I don't even really understand it. All I know is that it resets it, but you don't know what from what point or whatever. So does that reset it for Earth 2?
No.
So when the Flashpoint happens, it only happens on Earth 1?
Okay, wait, sorry. It shouldn't. The rule, and this is going to be the part where it depends on what Berlanti wants to do.
In the comic books, it did. So because Flashpoint was the kickoff of the New 52, and by starting Flashpoint and everything that happened within that, that changed everything over the 52.
It reverberated across galaxies, across universes, across everything.
Because here's why. Like,
but you're right. That's true. So they may do that.
So you say when he ghosts or like goes back in time and changes things or whatever, like... When he does that, he's basically technically gaining, like, typically 2 days. So far, it's been approximately 2 days or whatever. Mm-hmm. So are you saying that technically then Earth 2 is 4 days ahead of where the Flash is?
You are dropping a little too much science on your science fiction.
Yeah.
So.
But you're saying when he goes, it doesn't reset anything on Earth 2. And if the timelines are still moving together...
You're right.
The timeline continues to run, but he is moving throughout the timeline.
So he's
So technically nothing in Earth 2 reset, but where he's moving from, he's reversed Earth 2, just nothing different is happening.
It's probably the easiest way to think about
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it would be the equivalent of if you're driving down the road with a flash in the passenger seat, and then the flash gets out and runs behind you, then runs in front of you, then runs up, whatever, and then eventually runs up and gets back in the car. Well, you've never changed speed. You've been doing the same speed the entire time. So,
and the lane next to you is doing the same speed, too. So if he runs back 50 yards and then over to that other universe, he's still back.
Right. Okay.
So it doesn't – those two cars are still continuing down the road side by side no matter what happens.
Oy.
So part of this is – part of this is don't think too much about it is kind of where you come. But you can also do this. And as far as the doppelgangers are concerned, it depends upon which one you're talking about. I mean, if you saw in the new Star Trek universe, it doesn't matter at all. It becomes a joke, which is what I was mentioning earlier. Mm-hmm. If you go back to something like Bill and Ted, they're not terribly concerned about continuity across timelines.
Right.
If you get into something like Back to the Future, then they become much more concerned about it. It is a bigger deal there.
I guess this is the way I look at it. Time travel is explained, I feel like, a lot more frequently in pop culture than the multiverses
Absolutely.
Are. And because of that, I feel like I have a good grasp on time travel based on all of the fiction out there about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel, and maybe it's because I wasn't drawn to that kind of stuff in the past. Like I said, I didn't watch Sliders, but I did watch Back to the Future. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Like, so maybe now that I'm like more drawn to more science fiction than I was before, like maybe that's why I'm all of a sudden seeing it everywhere. And I'm like, I don't get it, but I guess you're right. Like you just have to kind of suspend a little bit of belief because obviously if there is a multiverse in our existence right now,
yes,
I'm not going to be the one that discovers it or understands it with physics.
That is true. Now you may be the one who stumbles into a wormhole or something. I mean that's a pretty standard fantasy trope or sci-fi mm-hmm. trope, you know.
But then I get confused about wormholes, black holes, the mm-hmm. singularity. So a wormhole is like a portal, right? Or a breach.
It can be. The thing is, everybody's using these terms in slightly different ways because they want to keep it confusing for you. You personally.
Because I feel like they could say a wormhole is like how you go through time. It could be how you go to a different universe. It's just whatever they want it to be. A wormhole is basically a tunnel to wherever or whatever.
Whatever
they want
the author wants it to go to.
Exactly.
So sometimes they will use it like Deep Space Nine. They will use it to travel across a great distance in a very short amount of time.
Or Stargate for that matter.
Okay.
But on the other hand, some people use wormholes to suddenly travel to a different marble, so a whole different world
right.
or whatever else. And sometimes they use them to throw you back in time.
So, okay, wait, two separate questions. Stargate, that's mm-hmm. not different dimensions or
no.
universes.
No, that is different planets.
Okay. I just was like, wait, hold on, because I know
different galaxies.
A portal. Okay, so going back to Flash, because I don't feel like they're going to explain the singularity any further than they already have. So the singularity happened when he was tightening up the black hole and mm-hmm. Firestorm went in it, right?
Uh-huh. So, okay, there we go. I had to load up the right area. Okay,
yeah, that's why I was telling you
right.
that part, right?
I'm with you.
So, and then that's how all the breaches happened,
right?
Which is like portals to mm-hmm. the other Earth 2. So basically
to 52 different universes. There's 52 different breaches, and each one leads to a different universe.
So how did them in that black hole open up the singularity? Like
Because science fiction. It's kind of like how the Doctor creating a paradox and allowing it to happen, changing a fixed point in time, created a crack in space.
Okay.
Space and time.
Yeah, there's no. It's just because that's what the writers decided to do.
Yeah.
See, I think that's the problem that I have is, and you would think that I would be fine with it because of fantasy, because mm-hmm. I read a lot of fantasy and I watch a lot of fantasy and like, obviously vampires aren't real and zombies aren't real and werewolves aren't real, you know, whatever. But like, for some reason with science fiction, I get caught up on the science and forget that it's fiction and that the author can do whatever the F the author wants because that's what science fiction is.
Right. It's actually something that producer Dan has said to me on more than one occasion.
Mm-hmm.
That he prefers quite a bit of science with his fiction.
Yeah, I like at least some science with my science fiction.
Right.
Give me at least enough of an explanation for it to kind of make sense, and I can go along the journey with you.
Right, like the Flash, like Chris is always, and I think I've mentioned this in prior episodes, Chris is always like, oh, well, that wouldn't really happen, he'd kill her, you know? Like, okay, he's saving the, someone was thrown off the building and he runs up the building to save her. I'm like, if he went up and she was going down, he'd kill her. Like, that would be impact. But he doesn't kill her, he saves her because mm-hmm. it's the Flash. So, like, you have to suspend
actually,
a little bit of reality.
Fun fact, the Flash explains that.
Yeah.
They explain this in the comics. Because really, if you think about it, anytime he picks up somebody and takes off,
right,
they would turn into a puddle of really disgusting goo.
Which I love when they're time traveling in the Legends of Tomorrow, which I've only seen two episodes of, like, they get sick.
Yes. It's awesome.
So
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you wanna cover the Flash, is the reason the Flash doesn't kill people when he speeds off with him?
Well, because
can you do it?
Well,
or you want me to do it?
It's
the Speed Force.
Oh yeah.
So the Speed Force is this again? I'm very simply.
They say that on the Flash. They say
Speed
Force.
Well, when they talk about the Speed Force, basically what they're talking about is this magical thing that gives him his abilities.
Right.
And so when he picks somebody up and runs off with them or catches them as they're falling down a building, he's from a physics perspective, the way that they're doing that is by basically changing the dimension. Like they're jumping into the Speed Force instead of just moving.
It's like he's a picture that he is surrounded, that lightning that surrounds him.
Yeah.
Is a breach in time and space.
Okay.
So that's why he can be running at full speed, but his cheeks aren't moving.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so when you fall into that vortex of space and time with him, then the rules of physics no longer apply to you.
Gotcha. I get it.
They actually do.
However,
the Nerdist has a Because Science one that talks about that and explains it really, really well, mm-hmm. too.
However, I will tell you the one time that Captain Cold froze Caitlin's car and she grabbed the handle, that should have killed her. Not killed her, but at least frozen her hand off a little bit.
Yeah, well, you want to get into the... Yeah, any of the cold stuff they put in was all... Like, you're dead. That's what happened now. You died. That's
yeah.
what...
Yeah.
Assuming you could...
Or, like he shoots the Flash on the episode where he's basically telling the Flash, like... Or no. It wasn't the episode he was telling the Flash about it. It was the episode where he was with his dad. And he shoots him with the thing, but Cisco had put the burners in his mm-hmm. suit to melt the ice. Like, how is that not killing him if he's got, like...
Yeah, there's... Don't think too... Don't go too far with these things. All right, so there you go. Hopefully, listeners, that was helpful.
I feel like probably most of our listeners were like, yeah, Danielle, duh.
There's going to be so many comments. I can't wait to see some of the comments on Facebook.
Or people that are just
feel
like,
free, folks. Feel free. Tear us apart. I don't care.
And they're like, you guys got that completely wrong is actually what I'm waiting for. Like, you guys are completely right. But if you have thoughts or questions, did we miss anything? Did we catch all of your favorite pieces and parts? Let us know.
Do you feel like I'm as confused as I still am?
Do you feel like you're as confused as you still are?
I mean, I feel like I've grasped more the whole, like, just allowing it to be fiction part.
Uh-huh. That's a huge part of it.
I feel like I don't like it when I'm reading or watching something that I can't understand. Like, I can't wrap my head around it because it doesn't make sense. Because then I'm, like, sitting there fixated on it rather than actually, like, moving forward with the story.
And part of that's on the author to make sure that they explain properly.
Yeah, and I think Flash does a pretty good job of explaining how and why things are happening.
But they do make it awfully complicated.
Yeah.
Well, and probably sometimes maybe when they're explaining it, I'm like playing a game on my phone or something.
I can't imagine that happening.
All right, moving on to B-roll.
Hurting your thumb doing it.
Moving on to B-roll.
Speaking of hurting your hand with your phone.
Yeah. So this Samsung Galaxy Note 7 thing.
Yeah.
Holy crap. So I'm going to try to give you the 30-second version of this for those of you who just weren't paying attention at all. Although I think everybody has been, it doesn't matter. So Galaxy Note 7 came out, was lauded as one of the greatest phones of 2016, just the best that there ever was, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure somebody called it the iPhone killer because we call Every other phone.
We do that, yeah.
Right, everything is the iPhone killer.
How's that working out?
It's still, iPhone still appears to be okay.
Yeah.
I don't even like iPhones, and I'm like, stop that. Just you're not helping yourself here. So the Note 7 had this one very, very small issue.
That it's actually a Galaxy Note 7 owner killer.
Right. Much more.
It hasn't killed anyone yet. Let's be clear.
Yet.
But it does.
I did say yet.
It does legit catch fire.
Mm-hmm. And burn the crap out of your hand.
Like open flame, like flame broiled kind of thing. And so there was actually, fun fact, you are not allowed. One of the reasons I was gone was I was involved in some air travel. Uh-huh. And on multiple airlines while I was traveling, and every single one of them was specifically said, if you have a Galaxy Note 7, turn it off, don't put it on its charger, take it out of any checked baggage. It cannot be under the plane. You have to have it in the, where we can see it, basically. It needs to be, you're not allowed, no airplane mode. You leave that shit off and don't you dare plug it in. Like, they're very serious about this.
And here's your fire extinguisher just in case.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And don't bring on your hoverboards either, people.
Well, and actually, so when you mentioned the hoverboard, both of them caught fire for the same reason. These lithium ion batteries are powered by these two chemicals. And if these chemicals, they're both rather volatile. Mm-hmm. If something happens where anything breaks down that allows these two chemicals to touch, they tend to combust. And that's what was happening. So Galaxy said, Samsung said, hey, listen, really sorry about the fires. We're going to exchange all. We're going to do this recall and reissue, which is a massive deal. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
It's not cheap. Then they got the new ones, and fun fact,
they're still blowing people up.
They're still catching fire. They're not exploding.
No, but this was supposed to be one of the safe ones that has now caught fire.
Right.
On this person's hand, on this picture we're looking at, this was supposed to be the safe one.
Right.
And it's still catching on fire.
So, here's the
Samsung's.
Here's the craziest part of all of this. Samsung has now canceled the Galaxy as a phone.
The Galaxy or the Galaxy Note?
Because
there are other galaxies outside of the Note.
You have to double check that for me then real quick. The article that I read, the thing that I was researching this, I was pretty sure it said they were just the
whole
Galaxy
line.
The whole Galaxy line. Like, you know what? We're stopping. Now what they're going to do.
Which is funny because I just sold my Note 3.
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to release something else that is an awful lot like the Galaxy and release that and be like, hey, here you go. Now it's not the Galaxy, it's the Samsung universe.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the Samsung multiverse. Who knows?
Yeah.
So they're going to, and that part is what I was kind of surprised by, that they would go so far as to cancel it.
Yeah.
While at the same time, the Supreme Court is hearing the Samsung v. Apple arguments over the patents.
So
Apple says.
Bad timing for them.
Yeah.
This is a really long article. Where in the article did it mention it? What you're asking me to. Oh, permanently discontinue the Note 7 range.
Yeah, I thought they were canceling the whole darn thing. Okay, maybe I was wrong.
So the Note 8 will be out very much quicker than anticipated previously.
Oops.
I think they'll be rushing that.
Yeah.
That release.
Oops. That little.
If the 8 catches fire too.
Then
they might be done with the Galaxy line.
So they're currently in a patent lawsuit. So Apple sued Samsung for stealing Apple's ideas.
Apple's
and
been suing Samsung for years.
Right, but they're getting mm-hmm. pretty close to wrapping this up, because once you hit the Supreme Court, there's really not a whole lot of other places to go.
There's literally no other places to go.
Right. So
literally.
Literally. Not even figuratively.
Literally.
I mean, I guess literally you could go outside or something, but there's not.
But
a
as far as your court cases,
right,
the buck stops there.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. So they're taking a look at that case to see whether or not there's going to be something going down there. Rough times for Samsung all the way around, especially as Google rolls out the Pixel. And
you know what? I also saw another thing that involves Samsung and Apple, because I had a lot of PC friends, because I'm a Mac guy. A lot of my PC friends were giving me a lot of crap when the last Mac Pro came out, the one that they say looks like a trash can. And Samsung is releasing one that looks just like it now.
What's a Mac Pro?
That's their big mega computer.
Oh, like the desktop?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Literally looks like a trash can.
It's a black cylinder.
Cylindrical.
Which was for cooling purposes, apparently. And it's got like
and so now
crazy specs.
Well, this is the that's oh oops, hang on. Nope.
See, now the problem here's the thing though. I understand that you're telling me it's for cooling purposes, but this is Apple, so I'm pretty sure they did it because the other ones, yeah, that does look a lot like a trash can. Everybody else was working with cubes and rectangles and things, and so Apple's like, oh yeah, well then we'll work with cylinders.
So what's the Samsung computer that
I'm going to look it up?
Yeah.
So Samsung's now coming out with its own trash can, huh?
Yeah.
Good for Samsung.
I don't see anything. Oh, yep. Samsung introduces its own high-end cylindrical desktop computer.
See.
The Arch PC Plus, a PC trapped inside a cylinder.
Yet again, stealing Apple's designs. They should add this to the suit.
But I'll tell you, it looks trendier. Like a trendier trash can than the Mac does.
Oh, my God.
Well, the Mac one is like 3 years old.
Well, there you go.
So maybe that's why this one looks trendier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to stick with my, like, I don't even use my laptop anymore. This tablet here literally is everything. I do my homework on it. I do everything on it.
See, you know what's funny? I'm actually going the other way, and I'm working to get a custom-built PC. Desktop. Like, desktop.
Yeah, but for what? Oh, but you game. I don't game.
I do game. Well, part of it is I just want a computer that I can upgrade as it goes. And it's harder to do that on...
It's almost damn near impossible to do that with a laptop.
With a
tablet, it is impossible.
Right, with a laptop. I mean, there are people who can do it.
But a tablet doesn't cost that much money compared to a PC.
That's true. But I also...
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So anyway, I think that's going to do it for us. If you have a Samsung that caught fire, we'd love to hear about it. If you have a Samsung that hasn't caught fire yet, you don't really like it, let us know, and maybe we can set up a time to test it out and see if it catches fire. We just got to set it up in a safe spot. We'll be fine. We'll just go out to like the woods or something and run an extension cord. That should work fine.
Things at it.
We'll go see what happens if we can get it to...
We are at a maker studio. Maybe we can make fire.
Ah, I feel like there's going to be easier ways to do that. It's a long way to plug it in and leave it sitting for them. Just kind of wait for it to go. Like, I've got a lighter, guys. No. We're fine.
Worst pyro show ever.
get some kindling. little twigs and shit on it.
Oh, lighter fluid would probably do it a lot faster.
No, we're fine. We're going to go ahead and stick with the... Anyway, that is going to do it for us. We want to... let's go ahead and get... Oh, I'm sorry. Let's do our shameless plugs.
Yeah,
excuse
I was going to say, what the hell?
I'm so sorry.
I don't have one yet.
Oh.
Don't go to me yet.
All right, well, I'll start. I've got two.
Plug.
So first off, as always, you can find me at epiceventsorlando.com for all of your DJ needs. Second of all, I got an update on my phone because I'm a sports guy just now, that the Orlando Magic are going to be dedicating their opening night game to the Pulse victims.
Wow.
And they are going to be hanging up a number 49 jersey in the rafters. I'm assuming over by where they have the 6 jersey that says fans on it. They're going to have a very special jersey up there, number 49, to remember those that were lost at Pulse.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome. And now, come back to you. Here's your chance. You got something?
No, that was way too awesome.
All right. Do I have anything for shameless plugs this week? I don't think I do.
Dresden Files?
I haven't plugged them in a while.
I know.
Timeless was okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to... I can't quite plug it.
Westworld was good.
I better be watching it tonight. I'm very excited kind of for it. But yeah. What am I saying? Redwall. The Mice of Redwall. Oh, my goodness. What was the name of the book? I actually got sent this from a very good friend of mine. And it was absolutely phenomenal. And I really, really enjoyed it. So I really wanted to plug that, too, because it's been awesome. So the Redwall series is a story of, like, it's little anthropomorphic mice. And other little woodland creatures going around.
Anthropomorphic is such a good word.
Oh, well, thanks. So
it's from the 80s.
The
not the word, the book series.
Oh. I was about to keep going, and I'm like, wait, what? Hang on.
I was looking up the book.
That sounded like a comma, not a period.
So. Redwall is the name of the first book in the series. Uh-huh. It's definitely geared towards a younger audience, but it was sent to me by that guy, and he said this was mentioned. Hey, I wanted to see, so I got a chance to read through it. I have to tell you, I enjoyed it immensely. It was phenomenal. It was really fun. It was just, it's the kind of book that I know in a couple of years my kids will be able to read too. It was really, really
is
good.
Is it like
so.
Fievel or something? Like,
Well, I mean, it's a fantasy story. Okay. Because they're running around with swords and
yeah.
you know, all that kind of fun stuff.
Right.
And looking for mystical stuff, and there's knights and all this kind of like sword and chivalry and all that. But it was a really, really good book. It was really interesting. It was really well done. I really enjoyed it. So, Redwall, if you're looking for a one for the kids, I think if you got something around anybody north of like 8 or 9 years old, should be able to check it out.
I'm north of 8 or 9.
We'll see. You're still having trouble with the multiverse thing. I'm not going to try to get into.
Oh my gosh!
I don't know if the talking mice thing is going to throw you off. That was it. So Danielle, why don't you tell them where they can find us?
You can find us on Facebook at For Geeks Sake. That's with an apostrophe S. You can also find us on the Twitter at For Geeks Sake. That's two S's. You can also find us on the website geekstreetstation.com.
Got her. Got her.
Al was making a very funny face at me, and I could not tear my eyes away. It was like driving past a bus accident.
I was... Oh, wow. I was actually going for the scene in Zootopia where the sloth of the DMV reacts really, really slowly to the joke.
Ever.
That was what I was going for.
And can I tell you, too, how funny it is that Kristen Bell played the girl sloth? She loves sloths so much, but
right.
She literally has one word in the entire movie.
That's true.
It's poor. Awesome.
But she got to, she delivered it.
Very well.
Very well.
Very slowly, too.
Right. Well, one line.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
So that's going to do it for us. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you got any of the show ideas, questions, comments, make sure you reach out and let us know. So until next time, this is Al Sterling saying, progress isn't made by early risers. It's made by lazy men trying to find easier ways to do something.